Good morning. I'm more nervous this morning than I've been in a long time. I'm going to do something I've never done before, and then I plan to read Scripture for basically the entirety of the message this morning. I'd like for you to turn to Genesis chapter 3. Easter. What is Easter? Tom preached a message this morning called Why? Why did Christ come? Why did Christ die? Why did He need to raise? What's the story behind the story? And this morning, it's my prayer that you would let the Spirit work and work in your heart through the Word. Whether it's to truly hear and understand the gospel message for the first time, whether it's to hear the old story and be blessed over again. Genesis chapter 3. Now the serpent, I wanted to give the setting here a little bit. God had created the earth. He created all that there is, all that there was at that time. And He put the man and the woman, Adam and Eve, in the Garden of Eden. And He told them there's two trees. Actually, there were two trees. The tree of life, tree of knowledge of good and evil. He said, you can eat of all the trees, but not the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That's one tree you cannot eat from. And then we see here in chapter 3 where Satan took the form of a serpent and came and tempted Eve. Genesis chapter 3. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, lest neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. This is the first time we see guilt in the Bible. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree, whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. We're going to see this later then, but I want us to notice this as we go through here. The shall bruise thy head, thou shalt bruise his heel. When later we're told that if when the people of earth slew the powers of darkness, slew the Son of God on the tree, they didn't realize what they were doing. They thought they were defeating God and His plan, and instead they bruised His heel. Yes, they were able to kill Jesus, but when Jesus rose from the dead, He bruised Satan's head. He won the final battle there. Verse 16, unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow shalt thou bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, Thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee. And thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken. For dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. There we see the first time where sin caused death. And the Lord God said, Behold, the man has become as one of us to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. And there again, that's mercy. It wasn't that God was going to punish them by making them die. That was part of the punishment. But also part of the mercy was that they would not continue to live forever in their sinful state. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. I can only imagine the feeling of regret that Adam and Eve must have felt the day they left the garden. And they look back, and there's a flaming sword, an angel with a flaming sword guarding them from entering back into that garden. Let's turn to Matthew 26. Romans 6:23 says, For the wages of sin is death. And here we're going to see God's plan brought to completion, brought to fruition, where His Son came, the seed of the woman came and defeated the seed of the serpent, which is Satan. Chapter 26, And it came to pass, when Jesus had finished all these sayings, he said unto his disciples, Ye know that after 2 days the feast of the Passover, and the Son of Man is betrayed to be crucified. One thing I was struck with as I read through here is how often something happened that Jesus knew was here. You know that I'm going to be crucified. Then assembled together the chief priests and the scribes and the elders of the people under the palace of the high priest, who was called Caiaphas, and consulted that they might take Jesus by subtlety and kill him. But they said, not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar among the people. Now let's go down to verse 14. Then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went unto the chief priests and said unto them, What will you give me, and I will deliver him unto you? And they covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver. And from that time he sought opportunity to betray him. A thought I had there. Judas and the priest decided Jesus was worth 30 pieces of silver. What value do I place on him? What value do you ascribe to Jesus? Verse 17, Now the first day of the feast of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying unto him, Where wilt thou that we prepare for thee to eat the Passover? And he said, Go into the city to such a man, and say unto him, The Master saith, My time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at thy house with my disciples. And the disciples did as Jesus had appointed them, and they made ready the Passover. Now when the even was come, he sat down with the 12. And as they did eat, he said, Verily I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. And they were exceeding sorrowful, and began every one of them to say unto him, Lord, is it I? And he answered and said, He that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. The Son of Man goeth as it is written of him, but woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born. Then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? He said unto him, Thou hast said. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave to the disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of it. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. Then saith Jesus unto them, all ye, here's another thing. Earlier he said, one of you shall betray me. He knew who that was going to be. Now here he's saying, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. And then something that's very easy for us to read over. He looked at them and said, every one of you is going to forsake me tonight. One of you is going to betray me. Every one of you is going to forsake me. And I'll be delivered up to death. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. He had already forgiven them. Peter answered and said unto him, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Whose faith, whose strength was Peter trusting here? Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me three times. Peter said unto him, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise said all the disciples. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and said unto the disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, what? Could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. I take this as a real warning to us. Most of us don't have a problem sitting here thinking how I'm going to do this week and my spirit is willing. Peter said, I will never deny you. And Jesus said, pray. Your spirit is willing, your flesh is weak. And we see what happened as Peter continued to trust the flesh. Verse 42, he went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. I had to wonder, what if Jesus hadn't prayed? Would he have been able to stand? What if Peter had prayed? Would he have been able to stand with Christ? Then cometh he to his disciples and saith unto them, sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. And then it seemed like there probably was a little pause here, a little bit of time. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. Here's again, he knew who was coming, he knew why they were coming. And while he yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves, from the chief priests and elders of the people. Now he that betrayed him gave them a sign, saying, whomsoever I shall kiss, that same is he, hold him fast. And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, hail, Master, and kissed him. And Jesus said unto him, friend, wherefore art thou come? Then came they and laid hands on Jesus and took him. And behold, one of them which were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck a servant of the high priest and smote off his ear. Then said Jesus unto him, put up again thy sword into his place, for all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled that thus it must be? In that same hour said Jesus to the multitudes, are ye come out as against a thief, with swords and staves for to take me? I sat daily with you teaching in the temple, and ye laid no hold on me. But all this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. And they that had laid hold on Jesus led him away to Caiaphas the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembled. But Peter followed him from afar off, How far off do we follow Jesus? They all forsook him, but Peter, it says, followed. He wanted to see what was going to happen. He didn't want to get close enough to really be in danger. But yet he kind of wanted to be involved. He cared, just not quite enough to lose his own skin. But Peter followed him afar off unto the high priest's palace and went in and sat with the servants to see the end. Now the chief priests and elders and all the council sought false witness against Jesus to put him to death, but found none. Yea, though many false witnesses came, yet found they none. At the last came two false witnesses, and said, "This fellow said, I am able to destroy the temple of God and to build it in 3 days." What Jesus had actually said was, "Destroy this temple and I will rebuild it in 3 days." And he was talking about his physical body. And the high priest arose and said unto him, "Answerest thou nothing? What is it which these witness against thee?" But Jesus held his peace. And the high priest answered and said unto him, "I adjure thee by the living God that thou tell us whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God." Jesus saith unto him, "Thou hast said. Nevertheless, I say unto you, hereafter shall ye see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven." Then the high priest rent his clothes, saying, "He has spoken blasphemy. What further need have we of witnesses? Behold, now we have heard his blasphemy. What think ye?" They answered and said, "He is guilty of death." Then did they spit in his face and buffeted him, and others smote him with the palms of their hands, saying, "Prophesy unto us, thou Christ, who is he that smote thee?" Now Peter sat without in the palace, and a damsel came unto him, saying, "Thou also wast with Jesus of Galilee." But he denied before all, saying, "I know not what thou sayest." This is what happens when we trust the flesh. And when he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him and said unto them that were there, "This fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth." And again he denied with an oath, "I do not know the man." And after a while came unto him them they that stood by and said to Peter, "Surely thou art also one of them, for thy speech bewrayeth thee." Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, notice he said, "Well, if my speech is what identifies me, then I'll change my speech too." He cursed and swore, saying, "I know not the man." And immediately the cock crew. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him, "Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice." And he went out and wept bitterly. In the bulletin, the message title is "From Horror to Hope." I want you to think of Peter's feelings at this time. I just blew it. Think of Adam and Eve when they were expelled from the garden. We just blew it. Horror. Going on into chapter 27. When the morning was come, all the chief priests and elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. And when they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, "I have sinned in that I betrayed the innocent blood." And they said, "What is that to us? See thou to that." And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple, and departed, and went and hanged himself. And I had to think about it, the difference between Peter and Judas. They both let Jesus down. They both did not do as they should have. Judas tried to fix it himself. He did what he thought was best. He gave the money back, and went and killed himself. That was his way out. Peter, we'll just go on. Verse 6, "And the chief priest took the silver pieces and said, It is not lawful for to put them into the treasury, because it is the price of blood. And they took counsel and bought with them the potter's field to bury strangers in. Wherefore that field was called the field of blood unto this day." It struck me there to think, they're plotting to kill an innocent man. They'll do that. But we're not going to put the price of blood in the temple treasury. That's a law we can't break. And Jesus talked about straining at a gnat and swallowing a camel. Verse 9, then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremy the prophet, saying, and they took the 30 pieces of silver, the price of him that was valued, whom they of the children of Israel did value, and gave them for the potter's field as the Lord appointed me. And Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, saying, art thou the king of the Jews? And Jesus said unto him, thou sayest. And when he was accused of the chief priests and elders, he answered nothing. Then said Pilate unto him, hearest thou not how many things they witness against thee? And he answered him to never a word, insomuch that the governor marveled greatly. Now at that feast the governor was wont to release unto the people a prisoner whom they would. And they had then a notable prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ? For he knew that for envy they had delivered him. When he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, have thou nothing to do with that just man, for I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. But the chief priests and the elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said unto them, whether of the twain will ye that I release unto you? They said, Barabbas. Pilate saith unto them, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? They all say unto him, let him be crucified. And the governor said, why? What evil hath he done? But they cried out the more, saying, let him be crucified. When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it. Then answered all the people and said, his blood be on us and on our children. Then released he Barabbas unto them, and when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers. And they stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe. We just have to remember here that when they saw King of the Jews, they didn't see it in the same way that we would think of someone claiming to be Son of God. They saw it as a threat to their government. So you telling me this wimpy, meek man is going to try to overthrow our Roman powerhouse? So that's why they were so willing to mock Jesus and crucify him. And they stripped him and put on a scarlet robe. And when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head, and a reed in his right hand. And they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, hail, King of the Jews. And they spit upon him and took the reed and smote him on the head. And after they had mocked him, they took the robe off from him and put his own raiment on him and led him away to crucify him. And as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. Him they compelled to bear his cross. And when they were come into a place called Golgotha, that is to say, a place of a skull, they gave him vinegar to drink, mingled with gall, and when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. And they crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, they parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. And sitting down, they watched him there, and set up over his head his accusation written, this is Jesus, the King of the Jews. Again, mocking him, mocking the Jews. This is the man that they thought was going to deliver them from Roman rule. Then were there two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand and another on the left. And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads and saying, thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. Likewise also the chief priests, mocking him with the scribes and elders, said, he saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now, if he will have him. For he said, I am the Son of God. The thieves also, which were crucified with him, cast the same in his teeth. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour. It's so easy to just read through here. Most of us have read through here, heard this a number of times. But this was the middle of the day. And it got dark. There was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is to say,
my God, why hast thou forsaken me? It was at this moment where the battle hung in the balance. It was at this moment that Jesus had the power to take up His life or lay it down. It was at this moment where Jesus had lived a perfect life and the sins of the whole world were being placed upon Him. And the Father was crushing His Son for your sins and my sins. That promise back in the garden, you will bruise His heel, He will bruise your head, was happening right here. Over and over, Jesus told His disciples, I and the Father are one. If you hear me, you hear the Father. I don't speak anything unless the Father says it. I don't do anything unless the Father tells me to do it. We're one. We're in perfect harmony with everything we do. And in the very moment, the hardest moment in anyone's life is when His Father turned against Him for your sake and my sake. My God, why hast Thou forsaken me? And some of them that stood, verse 47, some of them that stood there, when they heard that, said, this man calleth for Elias. That would be Elijah. And straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink. The rest said, let be. Let us see whether Elias will come to save him. Jesus, when He had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And that is the right way to say it. He yielded up the ghost. He laid down His life. He yielded His spirit to the Father. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And the earth did quake and the rocks rent. And this is another thing that's very easy to just read over and not realize the significance. The temple had a holy of holies. There was the outer court, there was the inner court, and then there was the holy place. No one went into the holy place. No one. Even the high priest could not go in except, I think it was once a year. And he had to go through an elaborate ceremony where he would offer sacrifices, where he would be sprinkled with blood, he would have to bathe, he would have to do a number of things. And even after doing that, they would tie a rope to his ankle. And they had bells on his robe because there was a chance that when he went into the Holy of Holies, God would strike him dead. This was not something to trifle with. And if the bells stopped tinkling, if he was struck dead, they would have to have the rope to pull him out. No one else could go in there to get him. It was that big of a deal. And there was a thick veil. And when Christ died, God split that veil in two from top to bottom. The temple veil is torn in two. The way is clear for me and you. We can enter in. The earth did quake and the rocks rent. Verse 52, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after His resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Now when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, truly this was the Son of God. And many women were there, beholding afar off. I've had to wonder. Truly this was the Son of God. They admitted who Christ was. And it says that when He returns, the eyes of those who slew Him will see Him. I don't know if that means in judgment or if that means that they turn to the Lord. I'm not sure what that means. But they at least admitted who He was. And many women were there, beholding afar off, which followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering unto Him, among which was Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of James, and Joseph, and the mother of Zebedee's children, When the even was come, there came a rich man of Arimathea named Joseph, who also himself was Jesus' disciple. He went to Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be delivered. And when Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn out in the rock. And he rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulcher and departed. And there was Mary Magdalene and the other Mary sitting over against the sepulcher. Now the next day that followed, the day of the preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees came together unto Pilate, saying, Sir, we remember that that deceiver said, while he was yet alive, After 3 days I will rise again. I really wonder what they thought of this temple being, the veil being torn in two, the rocks breaking, all of those things. I really wonder what all happened, what their thoughts were. Verse 64, Command therefore that the sepulcher be made sure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away, and say unto the people, He is risen from the dead, so the last error shall be worse than the first. Pilate said unto them, Ye have a watch, go your way, make it as sure as ye can. So they went and made the sepulcher sure, sealing the stone and setting a watch. So we've seen the horror and we've seen the consequences of sin. Now we get to the hope. Now we get to the good part. Chapter 28, verse 1. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn, toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake. Again, something we read right through. There was an earthquake when that angel came down. There was an earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, All hail. It struck me when I read that phrase, all hail. I know these were the women. But up until now, Jesus had been a servant leader. Jesus was a man among men. Now he is the risen Lord. And he says, all hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, Be not afraid. Again, we see that phrase, be not afraid. Go, tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. My brethren, the very men that 3 days ago forsook him and fled. One of them cursed and swore, said, I don't even know the man. Go tell my brothers. I go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. Now when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city and showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. These chief priests still are not willing to face reality. When they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers, saying, Say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. And if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you. What they're saying there is that if they were sleeping and their body was stolen, they should be put to death. They're not supposed to fall asleep on their guard. And they said, we'll pay you to say that while we slept, he came and stole him away. They came and stole him away. And we'll fix it up with the governor. We'll give him money or we'll talk to him, whatever they had to do there, so that you don't get in trouble. So they took the money and did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Our theme this year is Thy Kingdom Come. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore, because of this, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always. The very men that had just deserted him, he says, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. I quoted Romans 6:23 as saying, for the wages of sin is death. The last half of Romans 6:23 says, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I want to turn to Romans 10. And read Romans 10, 9 through 13. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'd like to turn to Revelations chapter 21. And I want to read the first 8 verses. Revelation chapter 21, 1 through 8. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Notice how God treats His children. When Menno Yoder was here, I don't remember if that was a year ago or however long ago it was, someone asked him a question, and it was something to do with forgiveness. And he said, what if God forgave me the way I forgive others? These are the people whose sin caused the death of Christ's Son, of God's Son, Jesus. Look how He treats those who come to Him. Verse 3, and I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them. They shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega. That's the A and the Z of the Hebrew alphabet. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. The amazing thing is here that the first 7 verses are all about how wonderful it will be. And then the 8th verse is about the consequences. I am sure that we could explain, we can give a qualifier here. It says the fearful. What were the disciples? What did they do when Jesus was arrested? They fled. They were fearful. The unbelieving. The abominable. The thief on the cross. It says in the version we read, or in the Matthew's account of the story, said that both thieves cast the same in his teeth. Well, in one of the other Gospels, it says that one of them turned to him and said, looked at the other thief and said, "What are we doing? We deserve what we're getting. This man hasn't even sinned." I'm sure those men were abominable, but Jesus looked at that thief and said, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." Murderers, whoremongers, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars. I am sure that every one of those that are mentioned there, that there are those types of people that are included in those first seven verses. But because they came to the Lord, I believe it's in Ephesians where it says, "And such were some of you." The difference is turning to the Lord with our heart. And now I would like to turn to Deuteronomy 30 yet. And I would like for you to hear this as coming from God to you. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 15 through 19. "See, I have set before thee this day life and good, death and evil. In that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply. And the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. But if thine heart turn away, so that thou wilt not hear, but shalt be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I denounce unto you this day that ye shall surely perish, and that ye shall not prolong your days upon the land whither thou passest over Jordan to go to possess it. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live." Let's stand for prayer. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord, that you have given us a revelation of yourself. Lord, I pray that each one of us could choose life. Thank you, Lord, for the example you've shown of how freely you forgave the disciples who forsook you and fled. Even before you met with them, your message to them was, "I'll go before you." Thank you for that, Lord. Thank you for the way we can look at the apostles' lives after your resurrection, after your Spirit came and indwelled them, and see the difference. Lord, I pray that you would create in each one of our hearts a longing to know you, to have that power. I pray, Lord, that you would bless this congregation this morning according to your will and by your grace. We thank you. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.